right. Good morning. Buenos dias a todos. Good morning to everybody. It's great to have you on our morning manna devotion once again. And we're going to get started in just a moment. But first, we want to go over a few announcements. We want to remind everybody about our devotion that we'll be having tonight at 7:15 p.m., and it will be our devoción en español. The entire devotion will be in Spanish, so obviously that's for all of our Spanish speakers, but we want to welcome all of our English speakers that who have been learning Spanish, who've been wanting to learn Spanish. We've been talking about doing an immersion class in Spanish, so this is your opportunity to be part of our Spanish class and learn by immersion. Praise the Lord. Also, we want to go ahead and remind everybody about our prayer requests. We've been praying for the Abbott family. We've been praying for the Azars and our missionaries that are out in the field. And also, let's continue to pray for our families and different situations that are going on in the church. Feel free to communicate with each other, call each other, text each other regarding any needs that may be taking place in our church currently. And with that said, I'm not going to take much longer. We want to go ahead and introduce Sister Cindy. We all know our Sister Cindy Taft. She is a woman of prayer, a woman who knows how to get into prayer, into intercession prayer. She has a great burden for not just for a lot of our young ladies, but for our families as well. And she's always praying and making sure that she lifts up those names to the Lord in prayer. And we have her this morning. She's going to be giving our devotion this morning. Sister Cindy, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Sister Cindy, well, the floor is yours. Go ahead. Go ahead and tell us what's on your heart.
Good morning, church. First, I just want to ask God to give me the anointing to convey to you what I feel in my heart. Because I could just talk, but if the anointing's not there, nothing's going to penetrate. So I'm asking God to open up our ears and our hearts to hear what he has for each one of us individually. First, I want to share a testimony with you. 2 years ago, I lost my voice. I was in a church service, and I was worshiping, and the next day I thought, okay, I'm just hoarse. But then it turned around. I went to the doctor, and because my mom was concerned, I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me, what do you do for a living? Do you sing? Yes, I used to sing. I used to have nodules on my vocal cords, so they don't just disappear. But he told me there were no nodules there. And I knew that God had removed them years ago. But he told me, he said, your vocal cords are completely raw. What do you do? I said, I'm a prayer warrior. He told me not to talk for a solid month. I went to church, and I thought, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I couldn't worship and be quiet. He had me working with people already that he had put into my life. And I'm like, I can't just shut up. I cannot not praise you. You taught me to praise you. Like, how am I supposed to just be quiet and not do nothing at all? And so as time went on, I thought, okay, you know what? He's going to heal me. Why? Because he healed me 90% instantly, because he's taught me to get oil and pray for everything. So my faith is in God, not in anything else, but in God. And so I was like, you're going to heal me, but he didn't heal me. And so then I got frustrated, and I was kicking and screaming, and it's become such a testimony to some people. It might not be a testimony because I still don't have my voice where I can sing. I can't even sing loud at all. Sometimes I can't even talk. But the strongest my voice is right now is when I am using it for him. He's become my voice. My voice is strong in the spiritual. It's not strong in the carnal. Because if I try to make it strong, it just isn't there. But I was telling him, you know, like, I got aggravated, and here I'm in the middle of this trial, and I'm thinking, like, the same thing with what we're going through right now. Everybody's dealing with it different. But I'm in the middle of this, and I'm like, what do you want me to do? Well, 8 years ago, he said, I want you to read a chapter of your word. I was reading it. I could tell you every day I read a chapter of my word. Couldn't tell you what I was reading, but I could tell you I was reading it. So I'm reading my Bible, and it starts speaking to me. Now, flashback to a year ago, I have a dream, and people were coming from everywhere. Our church is being so filled. I mean, they were coming in droves. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I didn't want one person to leave. I said, can we get chairs? Can we put them out? And somebody says, you're in charge. Okay, let's put chairs all over so all the people can come. I hope you guys can feel the Holy Ghost the way I can. But all the people were just coming in, and we got chairs for everybody to be able to sit down. One second, you guys. Everybody to be able to sit down completely to where there would be like no, you know, that they would be able to feel the presence of God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, I see a pair of hands. And these hands are holding my Bible, my purple flower case Bible. Now, I can't even tell you there's a man because I couldn't see a face, couldn't see a body. I saw hands. And in my mind, I thought my promises are inside that word. They're in there. And those hands slowly unzip that Bible. And I heard these words, now you can see the word. And I woke up crying. And a couple days later, I'm reading my word again. And it said, with every conversation should be with grace and seasoned salt, that ye should know how to answer each man. And I was like, oh my God, it's your voice. This word's alive. Everything changed for me. Everything. It is the greatest testimony that I have. Everything changed for me because he gave me another avenue to hear from him. 8 years, you guys. I'll be back 9 years the end of July. For 7 years, I looked at these same words but could not see them. I couldn't see them. So Vince said, do not fear. Oh, that's nice. He says, do not fear. Well, guess what now? Oh, my goodness. He says, do not fear. It means do not fear. He says, do not worry. It means do not worry. And he brought me to Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, it says, one second. It says, he that dwelleth. What does it mean by dwell? To live or to stay as a permanent resident, to reside in the secret place. The term secret place appears in the Old and New Testament. Most often refers to the way our soul is in a relationship with God. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is his word. This is what he tells us, a secret place in our life set aside for one-on-one time with God, a place of solitude. As we spend time with someone, we learn more about them. When we spend alone time with God, we learn more about him. Spending time in our secret place with God is one way of choosing spirit over flesh. Romans 8, 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit the things of the spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you understand? This is his word. This is what he said. This is how we have peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It says, verse 2 in 91:2, it says, for I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Say it with boldness. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. It doesn't say your God. It says my God. He's your God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and their buckler. Not our truth, his truth. Thou shalt not be afraid not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noontime. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, mine, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. He gives his angels charge over us to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash my foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. He sets his love upon us. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and what does it say? I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When we do that, we have more of a heavenly, eternal perspective. A secret place is an intentional decision to establish a routine that includes reading God's word and meditating upon it. Don't do what I did. Don't just read it. I started putting my hand over the Bible and say, teach this to me. Let me know your word. It gives you comfort. Not only does it do that, it changes you on the inside. You cannot read this word and be the same person. Praying, letting God in and opening up yourself completely and listening to his voice. Recognize how he talks to you. Step out in faith. In faith, this secret place where we meet with God one-on-one is where we should find ourselves often. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I, with boldness, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Abiding in God, we find shelter, refuge, and fortress. It is in the secret place that we are most vulnerable with God and most deeply experience his intimate love. Church, I want to know him. I want one day when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, that he knows who I am. Not just, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this. I want to know him. That's all I have.
Sister Cindy, it's all you have, but it was all that we need for today. It was powerful, Sister Cindy. And even as Sister Cindy was talking, I couldn't help but to think, Church, we've heard some great words. We've heard a great word all week long this week from Sister Sanders, from Sister Sprinkle, and Sister Cindy has been no exception today. What a great word we heard this morning. And I want you to know, Sister Cindy, your voice came in loud and clear. I know everyone heard your voice in the natural sense, but also in the spiritual sense. It pierced to the depths of our heart.
Thank you.
It was powerful. And I want to say this, Sister Cindy talked about a secret place, and that's been something that's been on my mind for a couple of weeks now, Church. We've got to find that secret place. Some of us have had that secret place in the past, but now we have an opportunity during this time where we're more isolated and we're, you know, finding ourselves maybe lonelier. But we don't need to be lonely in the spiritual sense. Right now is the time where we need to find that prayer closet, that secret place that the Lord wants us to be. Praise God. With that said, once again, thank you, Sister Cindy, for the great words this morning. And we're going to remind everyone, please join us again tonight at 7:15 p.m. We will have our devotion in Spanish, Nuestra Devoción en Español. We look forward to having everyone there. God bless you. Be prayerful throughout the day. We love you, and we are praying for you. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. Amen.